verse 17. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 17. All right, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now you may be seated. I appreciate that. Is it all with cue cards or what? Hosea chapter 4, verse 17, the Bible says this, Ephraim is joined to idols, let him alone. Ephraim is joined to idols, let him alone. And one of the most tender portions of Scripture, I think, is found right here in the book of Hosea concerning Ephraim. God loved Ephraim. He was one of the 12, he was one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Amen. And was perhaps one of the most favored of the tribes of the nation of Israel. And God begged Ephraim to come to himself. Finally, one day in desperation, the Lord said, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. And I want to talk to you about that tonight. Let's pray, and then you may be seated. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to be before your people tonight, Father, for the opportunity to have your word, for the opportunity, Lord God, to take your word and to be able to preach your word, Father. Now I pray for Holy Spirit fullness and power, Lord, tonight, words of wisdom, and in Jesus' precious name, amen. And Ephraim is joined to idols, let him alone. I guess all of us all of you get upset sometimes, not me, of course. All of us, though, get upset sometimes. I guess all of us sometimes get to the point where we say, we're fed up with something, you know. We're fed up with this, that, whatever it may be. I think all of us get to that point. All of us get to the point we say, I just simply think that there isn't any hope. That there isn't any hope anymore. I think all of us get to that point. We're upset. We feel like we're fed up. We feel like there's just no hope anymore. And so the Lord said, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone, in Hosea 4:17. When the Lord said that, he was saying this, Ephraim is guilty. Ephraim is guilty of swearing. Yep. By the way, there isn't much worse than taking the Lord's name in vain. Amen. Can't even comprehend profaning the Lord's name when we just got done eating his food or breathing his air or drinking his water or taking in his sunshine. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Yet it happens all the time. It happens all the time. I cannot even imagine taking the Lord's name in vain. How wicked, how cruel, how vile, how sinful. One that does that, especially a Christian, will be judged for that, but all shall be judged for their sins that are lost, of course. And those of us who are saved will be judged for our behaviors also as far as what type of a Christian we were. Amen. We all give an account to God one day. Amen. Now praise the Lord, our sins are under the blood of Christ, but still, what business would any Christian have taking the name of the Lord in vain? Put shame on even the lost people that take the Lord's name in vain every day when they live on God's green earth and his green pastures and enjoying the things that God has created. Now, God said, Ephraim, you've been guilty of swearing. And that isn't all. God also said this, Ephraim, you've been guilty of stealing. Stealing. You've been guilty of stealing. But that's not all, God said. He said, Ephraim, you've been lying. You've been lying, Ephraim. You've been misrepresenting the truth, Ephraim. You've been killing, Ephraim. You've been guilty of adultery, Ephraim. Your priests are evil. Whoredom fills your land. You've been drinking liquor, Ephraim. You're guilty. By the way, liquor is becoming a popular drink. In our day and age, it has been for quite some time. It's getting more popular all the time. Just because it's popular doesn't mean it's not still wrong. It's still wrong. Amen. Now, just because everybody in a society seems to drink, nearly everybody in society seems to drink it. I don't. Hopefully you don't. But just because everybody seems like they're drinking it, still doesn't make it right. Amen. It's still wicked. And just as sure as I'm standing behind this pulpit, one of these days, God Almighty is going to say to America, I've had enough. You've been swimming in alcohol long enough. You've been bathing in alcohol long enough. America, go on to hell as a nation. I'm fed up. God may get to that point. God said, Ephraim, you've been drinking your liquor. Ephraim, you've had your whoredom. Ephraim, you've had your red light districts. Ephraim, you've had your adult bookstores. Ephraim, you've had your filth and your corruption, your vile living. That isn't all. You've had your idolatry. You've had your harlotry. You've had your... You're just like Ephraim, just like a backslidden heifer. Ephraim, that's what he said. A backslidden heifer, that's what you're like. God said, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Let him alone. Let him alone. Then God began to think about Ephraim's past. God likened Ephraim to a little baby growing up one day into adulthood. God said, Ephraim, I remember when you were a little baby. I taught you how to walk. I mean, I remember Ephraim. He was just that little child, just trying to let go of that furniture for the first time and make it across the room. And I had to help you at first, Ephraim. I had to hold your hand. I had to grab a hold of your hand, and I had to help you walk. And then one day you finally made it all the way across the room on your own. You finally made it, Ephraim. I helped you, Ephraim. I remember those days. You were so young, Ephraim, such a young child. Oh, Ephraim, I remember all the things about you in your early days, Ephraim. You were just a little baby, and then you walked, and you were just a little baby, and I fed you. And I fed you as a toddler, and I took care of you when you were little, and then finally one day you were able to eat on your own. The Lord thought about that, and he said, Ephraim, how shall I give thee up, Ephraim? Hosea 11:8 that we read earlier. Every parent in this room should know how God felt. Everybody who's ever had a child should know how God felt about Ephraim. That was one of his children. Every child that we would have that would go into sin, we'd have to say as a parent at some point, I can't give him up. He's my boy or she's my girl. I can't give him up. The Lord said, I tried to say goodbye to Ephraim. I tried to let him alone, but I got to thinking from chapter 4 to chapter 11 about all the things of Ephraim in his earlier days. And I began to think and remember how I loved Ephraim and how I cared about Ephraim and how much it meant to me. Ephraim, I couldn't give him up. Think about that. You think about your child. I think about that. I think about my son. I think about the earlier days of his life. I think about the days, and I can remember when he took a little bit earlier. I'm going to take one now. I can remember when we first moved from Nebraska down to Longview, Texas, and I remember we got there. It was our first Sunday there. And I can remember Brother Gray, who's the pastor now, was the youth pastor then. I can remember going in, my wife taking our picture with him, and my son was there with me, and oh, he was probably, what, how old, Miss Painter? About seven years old. Couldn't hardly hold his Bible up. Man, that big Bible. Couldn't hardly hold it up for the picture. Tie was clear over like this. And we took that picture. I still have that picture. I remember that picture. And boy, I can remember, and I can remember sending that to my grandmother when she was still alive. And she said to me, she said, how'd you get so fat? You were so skinny back then. But I can remember that picture. He could barely hold his Bible up. And I can look down like the other day and see him working the altar down here talking to somebody as a young adult man and dealing with him at the invitation time. And I think about how much my own child would mean to me. And if we take that in the context of maybe one of our own children and we think about the times of the past and we think about our children, and not that my child's wayward, but think about how God would feel about Ephraim. Let him alone! He's joined into idols! And then the chapters go by with the passing of time, all the way to chapter 11, and God sits there and says, wait a minute. I remember Ephraim when he was young. How can I give up Ephraim? How can I give up on Ephraim? How can I? He's my child. I can't give up on Ephraim. The Lord, I think, cries for America tonight. For some reason, I don't know why, but I think God loves America. God has favored America. Most of the cars in the world tonight are, guess where? In America. In America. God has favored America. Most of the television sets in the world are in America. Most of the food in the world is in America. Nobody's better fed. Nobody's better clothed. Nobody has better homes than the people who live in America. Nobody. God has blessed America. Why? I don't know. Why? Well, I got some ideas. I'll give you a little bit. But when I see our society out here, and I see our world out here, and I see the filth of our world, and I see the garbage that goes on, and as a Christian, I got to sit there and wonder, why would God give anything to America?
Right.
But God has blessed America. God has blessed America. Somebody who's come from another country could testify to that. They have anything like your country, like anything like America? Not at all. Not at all. Him and I the other day were out, and I said something to him about air conditioning. I said, they have much air conditioning over in Congo? He said, no. Probably never heard of air conditioning. They have air conditioning anywhere over there, probably a few spots. But not much. Downtown. In buildings, I bet. Business buildings, yeah. Yeah. Business people got all the money. And they don't have much in a lot of other places. But in America, the thought of not having air conditioning is laughable. Because most people have them. Even those who don't run it. Most of them have them. They just don't run it because they can't afford to. Oh, there's a few places around this neighborhood maybe where they don't have it. But not often and not much. That's just a thing taken for granted by us, but that's because God's blessed America, and it's just something we're grown accustomed to. Maybe America's been blessed because of those founding fathers who came across the ocean and dared to explore a new country. Why? So they could have a country that believed the Bible, amen. Why? So they could have a country that truly worshiped the true Jehovah God, amen. Why? So they could have a country that believed in freedom of religion, believed in peace, amen. Believed in those things. That's why. Amen. For over 200 years, God has loved America.
Right.
I think sometimes God looks down and says, let America go to hell. I think God looks down and sees the dirty X-rated movie places and he says, let them go to hell. He sees a filthy adult bookstore and he says, let them go to hell. God pity the pagan people who are making their living, eating their food, and buying their clothes by ruining the morals of young people in our society. God pity them. God pity these men and women who go to these dirty, rotten, filthy movies. God pity that kind of a nation. God pity that kind of a nation. But America's full of it. America's full of it. I think God looks down and says, I'm fed up. Our forefathers didn't have that type of activity in mind when they came to America. God may be looking down and saying, I think I'm going to let America go on to hell, let her alone. Then I think the Lord remembers the early days. I think the Lord likens the country to little children. I think the Lord remembers the handful of people in northern England who decided they were going to find a place where they could live and worship God in freedom and where the Bible would be honored. I think the Lord remembers that little group that left England and went to Holland. I think he remembers the 102 of them that weren't happy in Holland. So they left Holland, and for 65 days they sailed the seas. Four of that group died, and two were born at sea on a little ship. And God remembers that all of that suffering was for him. All that sailing and fighting was for him. I think God remembers the Mayflower compact. God remembers the prayer that they prayed. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we bless thee for having brought us over the vast and furious ocean to this new world. I think God remembers that little group reading Psalms 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. The Lord looks back to America's heritage, I think. I think he looks back. I think God remembers how our forefathers got into their wagons and went to church, amen. Went to church, sometimes staying all day long, amen. Went to church on Sundays. God remembers that men believed the Bible and read it to their children, amen. God remembers mothers who lived for God, who lived for right and believed the blessed word of God. God remembers when the Bible was more important to the mother than the television soap opera in the middle of the afternoons on the weekdays. God remembers that, amen. God says there was a time that America loved me. I can recall those early days when America was a little child. I can't let America go to hell. I love America. I want to help save America. I think God remembers that. I think the Lord remembers how that first meeting at Plymouth Rock, which took place in that little 20 by 20 foot building where Pastor Brewster led the services, within a month, six people had died. During the first long, cold winter, every family of those settlers had lost a loved one. By springtime, half the people had died. The Lord said, they are suffering hardship for me. They are suffering hardship for my word. They are suffering. They're living in America. They're starting America and are founding a new land. Why? God says, because they love me and they want to worship me the right way instead of being locked in to this church-state programs in Europe. God says, that's why they're doing this, because of their love for me. And God looked down on that and God said, I'm going to honor that because of what they're doing for me. I love that, God says, and I'm going to honor it. So God looks back to the early days of America's heritage. I think the Lord remembers. Amen. God blessed America because of it. The Lord remembers when the time came for the Mayflower to return across the ocean. Everybody was given a chance to go back to England. But death had touched the lives of every family that was there. And though death had come to that little handful of a group of people, and though they had a chance to go back to the Mayflower, they stood and waved goodbye to the Mayflowers that left. They waved goodbye. Who was left? Five women. Who was left? 20 men. Who was left? 27 children. 52 people watched the Mayflower leave. 52 people. They had rather stay in a hostile land and die than be slaves to a hierarchy on the other side of the world. Those pilgrims would rather stay in the new land and die than to not have freedom of religion. They would rather stay and die than to give up the freedom that they had found on these shores. Today, God sees Hollywood movies, the filth of the Playboy penthouse and Hustler magazines, and whatever else they've got out today. Those were the ones of yesteryear. I'm sure they got other ones today. I don't even know what they are, to be honest with you. But God sees it, and He hates it. He sees the campuses full of communists. He sees co-educational dormitories on our schools and places. God hears the cursing, and He sees the great wide river of liquor that flows and the dope addicts that are everywhere and the paganism and the humanism, the Satan worship and the transcendental meditation. And God remembers all the things that America has known and on which she was built. She no longer adheres to that. God sees that. God doesn't like it. It makes God sick when He sees it. God says, let her go on to hell. Then the Lord says, wait! Remember! I remember when the America was young. I remember those 52 people that stayed when they could have left. I remember that first Thanksgiving when 90 Indians and 55 pilgrims got together and read Psalms 103. God says, I remember that night in 1623 on Thanksgiving Day when the Thanksgiving dinner for all the pilgrims was simply five kernels of corn for each person. I remember those pilgrims bowing their heads and thanking God for what He had given them. God remembers that day when Governor Bradford stood before that little group of people who sang the hymns and listened to the preaching for these 3 days, thanking God for His goodness. God says, I remember that. Though they were facing starvation, they were thanking me. Though they were facing desolation, they were thanking me. They were thanking God for His goodness, even though they had almost nothing. They thanked me. America hasn't always been afraid to fight for freedom. America hasn't always been afraid of hard work. We haven't always had to have checks from Washington, folks, to survive. Wow. Amen. We haven't always been soft in a well-fed nation. We haven't always been an easy godless, humanistic nation. There was a day when there was decency. There was a day when there was honor. There was a day when there was respect. There was a day when there was work ethic. There was a day when there was integrity. There was a day when purity was the norm instead of the irregularity. There was a day when true religion and the Bible meant something in this country. Amen. There was a day God looks down and remembers those old days, and God says, when America was a baby, oh, how she loved me. Oh, how those early settlers prayed. Oh, how those early settlers read my book. Oh, I think God looks at that and remembers that and reflects upon that and says, I just can't give up on America just yet. I just can't give up yet. I love America. I think maybe that's why God has put up with us longer than he probably should have. I think that's why God's tolerated us longer than most nations in history. God has put up with us and 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 put up with us. I think that's part of the reason why. God remembers the early days. And that's part of it. Our God looks down this evening and he sees Hollywood. It's a mess. God sees the filth. God sees the corruption. God sees the folks that have not been faithful to church. He sees those that have missed weeks and weeks and weeks throughout the course of this year, and God says, it makes me angry. Just go on to hell like you want to, America. But then he turns around and thinks about the past of America and says, wait a minute, America, I love you. Wait a minute, America, I want you back. Wait a minute, wait a minute. I love America. I still want to see something happen good with America. You see, God still loves you and I this evening. God still loves our country, I think, this evening. You can't go on forever, though, taking a little baby. And remembering the old days of what it used to be like. And then you see the filth of what it is today. But it's not so easy to give up that little baby that keeps going through your mind. Because you remember when it was young. You remember the early days. You take any parent who has a child to grow up to become a criminal. That's not what they think of that person when they see them all the time. Oh, they may see them, and they may discuss the parent, and they may say, oh, that's ridiculous, get out of here. But in their mind, they still see that little boy. In their mind, they still see that little toddler. In their mind, they still see that little child. It's not easy to give them up. It's not easy. It wasn't easy for God to try to give up Ephraim, because he tried and he had to come back and say, I can't give you up. I can't give you up. I've got to give you another chance. I've got to give you another chance. The Lord says, I remember the early days in America, but now, wait a minute. God says, you've been swearing. But wait a minute. Nations don't swear. People do. God says, you've been stealing. But wait a minute. Nations don't steal. People do. God said, you've been committing fornication. Wait a minute. Nations don't commit fornication. Individuals truly do. God says, you've been drinking wine. Nations don't really drink wine. Individuals drink wine. You say, what is wrong with America? You and me. It's a big part of it. You and me. There's a campaign on right now. Shut the mouths of every fundamental Bible preaching preacher. To deny the truth of the Bible and even make it illegal to preach against anything that might be offensive. That's the big campaign right now. Been going on for several years. That's the big push. If Obama gets his way and he gets reelected, he'll do everything he can, Brother Yeager, to try to stop people like you and I from doing the things we do for the Lord. Every time I preach a message like this, I'll be construed as somebody who's just a hate monger. And he and the liberals of our society will mark people like myself as the hateful ones that hate everybody else, and that we're the real problem with America. But tonight, I'm not the real problem with America. And this book's not the real problem with America. It's the filth of our society that's the real problem with America. It's the lack of Christians who really act and behave themselves like Christians. That's what's wrong with America. That's the problem. But there's a campaign on for that. There's a campaign on right now to make it illegal to preach the gospel in the streets and to go door to door and house to house. There's a campaign in America right now to destroy the very freedoms and the very purpose for the existence of our country. Do you think those 52 people that stood there and waved goodbye, do you think this is what they had in mind when they said, we're staying? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. No, that's not what they had in mind when they waved goodbye to that Mayflower. They had a chance to go back for food abundant, but they weren't willing to give up freedom for food abundant. Those 52 people would have never believed that the adult bookstores and novelty shops would dot our land. They'd never believe that. But it does tonight. They wouldn't be free if that crowd gets their wishes. Do you realize that they are stunting our freedoms by trying to stop us from spreading the truth? See, anybody's free to spread any doctrine in our country, and that's freedom. And that's fine. Even though I don't agree with it, I don't have a problem with it. That's the freedom that we should have. And then we should be free to choose to believe what we wish to believe. That's freedom. That's real freedom. That's what a country's supposed to stand for. But that's not what they want. They want their false doctrine spread and their humanistic doctrine spread, but they want Bible believers' doctrines and truths and the gospel of Jesus Christ not spread. They want it listed and marked as hateful and to be put away somewhere and shut up somewhere. Now, the truth is, folks, they can shut me up, but they'll never shut up the truth of Jesus Christ. Amen. They'll never be able to. They'll never be able to stop the truth of the gospel. They'll all the way to the end, amen, even at the end, God will send an angel just around the globe giving the gospel of Jesus Christ. They won't be able to stop it. They'll try to stop their ears from hearing it, but the Bible says they won't be able to stop it from happening. Because God will say, listen, no matter what you try to do with your feeble attempts, you cannot stop my truth from being spread. Whether you want to hear it or not, it will be spread. So they can't stop it. For good, anyway. They can only try. Think of those 52 people that waved goodbye to the Mayflower again. Each of them who sometime in the previous winter had gone to some little homemade cemetery of some kind there that was probably what they had made, and they placed a loved one's body in a little box and had to bury him. All because of the hardship of living in this land. A new land, an undeveloped land, a wilderness. They had to lower that into the soil and say goodbye. But those 52 people waved goodbye to the Mayflower. They didn't expect for this land to become a land that would one day have a school system where prayer was outlawed and the Bible thrown out of it, but that's what we have tonight, folks. They had no idea that the Bible and every representation of Christianity would be taken out, and Buddhism and Hinduism and Muslimism and all that business, and the Muslim dress would be brought in. Because, of course, it represents their culture. Their culture. Their culture. This was and still is supposed to be a Christian nation. The only reason why this is happening is because fundamental the concepts are still good, but they're going to fail because guess what you took out was the foundation. Jesus Christ is the foundation, amen. Without him, it all fails, it all crumbles. But they always want not to be offensive. But wait a minute. The Muslims can have their dress, their garb. And, you know, I don't care really, but it is offensive to me. This is America, not Saudi Arabia. We live in America, not, you know, their excuse for wearing that was the desert land. Well, this ain't the desert over here. You don't have to wear that. So then they would hold to what? Religious beliefs. But wait a minute, their religious beliefs are accepted? But you let me go in there and walk in there with the Bible every day. And they said, well, you can't bring that in here because that's offensive to people. Oh, really? But I bet you wouldn't hesitate to let them bring a Koran in. I bet you don't hesitate to let them dress that way. Well, it's cultural. Cultural. Let's see. I guess by my understandings and beliefs, you left your culture and came to ours, so I guess you better adapt to ours. Amen. 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 And this was a Christian nation, not a Muslim nation, not a Buddhist nation, not a Hindu nation, so stop trying to turn it into one. And amen, either accept what we believe or get out. Amen. That's the way it ought to be. That's not the way it is, but that's the way it ought to be. Amen. Well, I'm not running for president, but I would make a far better one than the one that's there. There was 52 people. I had no idea what was going to take place. You know what they didn't know about? The Satan worship. You know what they didn't know about? All the idol worship that would take place here one day. They didn't know about that. They didn't know about the dirty movies. They didn't know about the co-ed dormitories. They didn't know anything that would be so abundant in our land today. They had no idea that one day in America there would be a box in someone's living room. You could push a button and have all kinds of filth come across that screen right in your living room. They didn't know that. Now it ain't even so much a box as much as a computer screen. But they would have never imagined that. They didn't know what a television was or a computer. But they couldn't imagine that. However, God says they're given to idols. Let them alone. Let them go on to hell. But then he turns back and says, wait a minute, I don't want America to go to hell. Just like I didn't want Ephraim to go to hell. I don't want that. I don't want them to go to hell. Folks, we're in trouble, though. If America changes as much in the next 25 years as I've seen it change in the last 25 years, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Some of us will die for giving out the gospel 25 years from now. Those 52 people could never have imagined a land where they would not have the gospel flow freely. Let me tell you what else they couldn't have imagined. They couldn't have imagined a land where there was such a lack of natural affection. No affection for an unborn child by a mother. Where the land where mothers have a doctor kill their own child inside of their womb. That would have been unbelievable to those 52 that waved goodbye to the Mayflower. In fact, they wouldn't have imagined it even happening, such a thing. Let alone imagine that it was completely legalized by the government. Wow. They wouldn't have dreamed such a thing. Tonight, what are you doing to help save America? Are you drinking beer like it's going out of style? Are you skipping church? Are you holding back your tithes and offerings? What are you doing? What are you doing to help save America? What are you doing to help bring one more great revival to our country, one more great awakening that we need? What, one last go-around for God? I believe God can do that, amen? God still loves America. I believe at times he looks down at this United States of Ephraim that we have tonight and says, let her alone, she's gone to idols. Let her go on to hell like she wants to. Then I think he ponders for a while and says, well, but wait a minute, I still love her. Wait a minute, I remember those 52 people. And they say, well, preacher, how do you know God still loves this United States of Ephraim tonight? Well, let me tell you why tonight. Let me give you some points. We've got about 15 minutes left here. Number one, God still calls men into his service. That's how I know. Take your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 36. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Number one, God still calls men into his service. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Verse 15. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending. That means over and over again. Because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. So betimes means he just kept doing it. He just kept doing it. So, let me read that one more time. And the Lord God, their father, sent to them by his, what? Messengers, it said, right? Rising up betimes and sending. So he kept doing it. Because he had compassion on who? Who do you have compassion on? His people. And on his dwelling place. Folks, tonight God still calls men into his service. God still calls men to rise up and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. God still calls men to get up behind that pulpit and preach, thus saith the Lord. No matter what the crowds think, no matter what's popular, no matter what their faces look like, God still calls men to do that. God still loves America. He's still calling men into His service. Oh, it's getting harder and harder to find, and good churches are getting fewer and fewer, but I'm telling you what, there are still some there. God still does call some men into His service. Number two, Christians still respond to the voice of God. We have people in church today, albeit it seems like few at times, but we have people in church today, amen. We still have people saved and baptized every week. Amen. We had a profession of faith this morning. Had one baptized last Monday. Of course, we had one on Sunday morning, Sunday night last week. Baptized, that is, and many saved. So we still have people saved and baptized. We still have people coming to church. Amen. So Christians still respond to the voice of God. Amen. Hey, number three, old-time Christianity with standards and values is still alive. Old-time Christianity with standards and values is still alive. It may seem far and few and in between, amen, but it is still alive. I thank God He taught me how to dress, and He taught me how to walk like a Christian, amen, and talk like a Christian. Praise God for that. Hey, there is still some preachers that preach against the movie house, amen, amen. There is still some. Amen. And that's a tragic thing happening in Colorado, and that guy ought to be stinking hung for all I care. He ought to be. I'll be drug out and hung dead by the neck. That's capital punishment, and God's in favor of it, by the way.
Amen.
Now they'll try some crazy mental case, plea agreement, garbage like that. But the truth of the matter is, just like it's been said by some, why in the world are you going to a movie like that at midnight anyway, when you ought to be at home in bed? God pity him for the tragedy he caused, and those people didn't deserve to be shot because of it. But I tell you what, the movie industry's stinking driven this thing anyway. Why do you think so many people have so many mental disorders today? It's because of the mental stiff, this junk that's putting people's head through way of a stinking TV screen and a movie screen. Amen. That's why people are so deranged today. Why do they come up with these ideas? By the influence of Hollywood, a large part. By the influence of Hollywood. Old-time Christianity with standards and values is still alive. There's still some people preach against that stuff. I'm still gonna. Hey, number four. Can't sound too excited about that. Number four. One guy is wonderful. The same Bible. It'd be me and him together, amen. The Bible. The same Bible that God used to build this nation is still being used by a few.
Amen.
That book right there. That book right there. That book right there. That is the King James Bible. This blessed old book. Amen. I'm going to have Brother Yeager start singing a song real soon. Sarah's played it a few times for offertory recently. She played it this morning for offertory. In fact, every time she comes up with a song and I put on it, she says she can't play it. She's got the book. I said, just play that song. It's called This Blessed Old Book. Sarah, you got those copies? Where's Sarah at? Give me that. I want to read those words to you. Man, that is a song. Because, and I ought to have a song like that because that's a book. Just give me a copy of them quick. These kids are going to start singing this song. They're scheduled to sing it into August, but they're going to learn it, and they'll probably sing it once a month. The song goes like this. It's called This Blessed Old Book. It's a well of pure water when I'm thirsty and dry, and bread when I'm hungry and worn. When a battle is raging, it's my faithful sword, a shelter from life's troubled storms. It's a light to my pathway, a lamp to my feet when the world gets so dark you can't see. And I've not made one change in one word that it says, but it sure made a change in me. And then the chorus says, this blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's the solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it. Now it keeps me from sin. Verse 2, when I think of what it costs just to hold in my hand, it reminds me I owe a great debt to all the martyrs who go to the stake and quote it with their dying breath. Now its critics are many and believers are few, but there's one thing I found to be true. If you find when you read it that there's something wrong, then there's something wrong with you. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand is true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it. Now it keeps me from sin. Hey, how do I know God still loves America? Because there's still some people preach the King James Bible, bless God. I'm telling you what, there may be the NIV, about every other outfit. There may be a New American Standard Bible, about every outfit. A New King James Bible, about every outfit. You might find three churches in town tonight that preach in the KJV only. Maybe four. But you got three, I think, that are King James only in this town, and that's about it. So we're three. This one, Fellowship Baptist Church, and probably Plains Baptist Church. I wouldn't consider Cornerstone King James only when they got New King James Bible sitting in their pews. That's not King James only. I wouldn't even consider Gentle Shepherd. I wouldn't consider any of them anything but a bunch of junk. And you may not like that, and I don't care. And you go ahead and put this on the internet. I don't care either. Ain't none of them guys speak to me anyway, so what do I give a flip? They ate my guts already, so what's the difference? Amen? They might as well have more reason for it. But that book right there means something. The martyrs went to the stake, Brother Yeager, and quoted it with their dying breath while they killed him for it. Because they stood for the book. They stood for the book. God still loves America, I think. How do you know, preacher? Number five, because a few preachers still thunder out his word across the land, amen. Old-timey preaching, amen. Old-timey preaching, amen. Now, what does this mean to us? It means this. Number one, keep doing what the founders did. When the blessings were coming down, what does that mean, preacher? Being in church when the doors are open, bless God. Hey, what else? Keep this book alive. Read it. Study it. Meditate on it. Stand for it. Hey, keep the standards high, amen. Ladies ought to act like ladies. Men ought to be men again, amen. Gotta learn how to be men. Gotta learn how to be men. Gotta learn how to get a job and how to work, amen. Instead of laying around, let the women take care of them all the time, bless God. Instead of going to the woman that's on welfare and hanging out at her house, or hanging out at the woman who's got the job house, and they're going to stay home and take care of the kids, bless God. Shame on them! Shame on them! Shame on them! But we got a society full of men like that. Keep pleading with God to spare our land. That's what that means to us. Keep pleading with God to spare our land. Keep praying. Fifthly, pray for God to call men to be preachers. Pray for God to call men to be preachers, amen. And number six, act when God moves on your heart. Every time, amen, there's an altar call, you should come. So if God didn't move on my heart, then you should come. Because there's a reason why. It must be hard. So, well, I don't know what to do, preacher. God's moving on my heart, but I don't want to go forward. Hey, you ought to come, bless God. You ought to move when God moves you. And you ought to move when God doesn't move you. Because why isn't he moving you? We got a country that's in trouble. Some of you are getting up there in years, you're about to check out, but you got grandkids. What do you want left behind for them? Is this what you want? Our school system that we have today? Is this what you want? What's laying out here a few blocks downtown with the filth all over the walls? Is that what you want for your kids and your grandkids? I'm not near as old as some of you. That's not what I want for my kids and grandkids. That's not what I want for my city. That's not what God wants either. God hates it. But he said, I love America. And I want to give her up. I want to give her one last chance, maybe. Maybe that's what God's saying tonight. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed.